story getting around this week, newsman, that I immediately knew was right up our alley. We tend to scour the news for these articles that will give us an edge in the workplace. I think of them as psychology hacks.
We've talked about emails. We've talked about clothing, how that can make you a better person in the workplace or perceived person.
Mm-hmm.
What's this one about?
And even your voice. Remember we did how to use your voice?
That's right.
Or what the sound of your voice betrays about your unconscious fears.
It's all about the image. It's all about the vibe that you give off.
Yeah. And so you can use this info, these psychology hacks, to enhance your own image.
Have you been using them? I forget.
We'll get to that. You can also use this info to spot, colleagues.
Yeah.
You can get inside the head of colleagues. That's what's so cool about it.
Yeah.
So I don't actually know how effective or worthwhile it is, but it's fun. This week we see what your shoes really say about your personality.
Should we own up what we're wearing right now before we get into it, or go to that at the end when we know what's
Well,
ahead?
let's describe what shoes we are each wearing now, and then as we go through, it will shed some light on our own messed up personalities.
Mine are black hush puppies, slip on.
Yeah.
Normally, my problem is I get attached to my shoes. Strongly attached. So I used to have like a zip-up type boot.
Okay.
Sort of thing that would go under the suit pant.
Up to the knee?
Up to the knee. Shiny red. Kinky boot style.
Yeah.
And I bought those and then I'd get a similar pair. And then like I could no longer find the same shoe. And I'm like,
got to branch out.
Yep. So these are comfortable. Very conservative.
Standard office shoe,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
How long have you had them?
A year, 18 months maybe.
All right. Mine are Puma, black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Just a standard style, street shoe.
Street sneaker.
Yeah.
I was going to call them.
One feature is it's got, and I'm just showing you now, the almost
the
entire top half of the sole has come away from the shoe.
Yeah.
Gaping big hole. It's not really noticeable, but if I just touch on it, huge gaping hole there. I've had these for maybe about a year as well.
It's like a crack in the reservoir. It means nothing at the moment.
Mm.
But soon you'll be walking the streets of Adelaide hearing this. And that's your soul just within yourself and also on your shoe just slopping around.
That's
and you
right.
go, ah.
Both souls ruined. Okay, let's find out what all this means. Number one, what does the colour of your shoes say about your personality? Non-conformists, we would usually think, try to stand out from the masses with colourful footwear. We assume people who wear really colourful or bright shoes are extroverts.
Yeah.
So, on that, neither of us are...
Ba-bao.
Yeah. Hang on, though. We shouldn't be so quick to judge people who wear bright or colourful shoes. This study found that while we tend to believe colourful and bright shoes attract extroverts, there's no relationship, no scientific basis for that hunch. An introvert is just as likely to wear flamboyant shoes.
Yeah.
So, there we go. But, now, if you want to identify your workplace extroverts by their shoes, here's what you look for. You should look at footwear wear and tear. Quote, the study found that extroverts are more likely to wear worn-out shoes. They're also more likely to sport high-top shoes like Chuck Taylor's. So, I don't know, off the top, I'm feeling like this study is completely wrong.
You reckon?
Well, by that reasoning, my worn-out shoes would have me as an extrovert, and I don't think
But
I
maybe
agree.
It's saying you're an interesting character, that you're not the conventional person in the workplace.
Or just short on cash, maybe.
Maybe. There's a sports journalist we all know well in Adelaide who wears shoes that look like... I don't know if... I haven't had a shoe status from lately, but they look like he's drag them from a homeless person.
Who is this?
No, just someone. And he just, and to me it says, I live through other means. I don't care what other people think.
All right. Well, this is point number two. Condition. What do the condition of someone's shoes say about them? You've suggested, you know, let's find out if that's right. You would have thought that attention to detail at work and in attire would be related. Turns out that's not the case. This study found that while we assume that shoes that are in good repair indicate a more conscientious owner, there is no relationship.
Okay.
The study found that people who wear well-kept shoes have high levels of attachment anxiety. They are more dependent on others and more apt to seek reassurance from co-workers. So, hang on. This goes on to explain the bit you were talking about. In addition to being more extroverted, the study found that those who wear worn shoes tend to be emotionally stable. They don't get bogged down by what others think. Does that ring true for your example that you had?
Well, maybe. It does, but as you mentioned, it could be just a lack of money. That's another, priorities.
Yes.
Because back in my 20s, when you used to have to go out, you had to wear quite formal clothes. So you'd wear your slacks and shirt tucked in.
Waistcoat.
Leather shoes to get to a bar.
Okay, yeah. Love slacks.
But I didn't buy my going out shoes and my work shoes. They were the same as one. So I'd turn up to work on Monday with, Alco Pop.
Spumanti.
Splattered,
you're going to say Spumanti.
Spumanti splattered on my shoes.
So okay.
That had nothing to do with my personality. Poorness.
Well, if that means, if wearing worn out shoes means you're emotionally stable, I take heart, because I kept a pair of shoes for 20 years and didn't throw them away, and actually never threw them away. They just disintegrated. They just evaporated away.
What were the shoes? Why were you
just
so
like
attached?
An old Converse. It wasn't even that I was attached to them. It's just they would not break down.
They would not die. Yeah.
You know, for as long as they're good, you kind of keep wearing them. And they just would not. They just would not go down. Anyway. All right. So we've learned a bit there. Number three, heel height. Probably only
for the ladies.
Applies to women. Not necessarily just women. But
just checking mine. Don't have
neither of
excessive heels.
No. People tend to think that when a female wears high heels, she's deemed more attractive. High heels have been considered a status symbol. Many critics contest that women who wear high-heeled footwear tend to lack emotion and emotional stability.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true? No, according to this study, people who wear high heels are no more emotionally unstable than their counterparts. Therefore, it's not surprising that you see confident leaders, female CEOs and whatnot, wearing heels.
Mm.
They wear heels not because they lack confidence, but because this footwear makes them feel beautiful and powerful. Whew. So it's like power dressing. Yeah. Whack on the heel.
See,
I wonder what the matter
is. I don't know.
Is.
Would you have thought high heels indicate what they first said, that, being unstable and a bit sort of...
Mm. Nah.
Nah, I agree with what they've said anyway, that, you're dressing to impress with power and force and pop on the heels.
Yes.
If you're a woman. Well, or a man that likes heels.
Mm. Up to you, free world. I am going to make a prediction. I reckon that within our lifetimes, high heels will be gone.
Mm.
They'll be abandoned, done, over, forgotten. Just a thing of the past. We'll look back at every now and then you see these photos of the shoes, of the geisha shoes that they put on the Japanese women to make their feet essentially deformed into these mini little feet.
Yeah.
The high heel, we're going to look back and just think, what a torture device that thing was. Amazing that anyone ever wore them.
It's probably like seeing excessive smoking in movies.
Yes.
And you go, what?
Yeah.
But I guess it was all part of the day and part of the time, and you think, oh, that's crazy. But putting yourself through that. But women go through it because they like the look of it and they like what it looks like for their legs, and a perception that all men love heels as well, I think, from a women's point of view, I think.
Yeah, I think it lengthens the look of the leg, which like a longer looking limb, I guess, is often thought to be preferable, like long, slender arms. Mm. And I immediately think of, in other cultures, somewhere in Africa, you know how they like stretch their necks?
Yes, with the rings.
Yeah. So they've got long, slender necks.
Mm.
And they probably look at the high heels and think, these people are crazy. I mean, one thing to stretch your neck out, but to wear a pair of high heels.
I'm just popping on my favourite neck stretcher, going out with hubby.
We'll have to Wikipedia whether that's actually what they're called, neck stretcher. Love this story, newsman. Absolutely loved it when I saw it. Has to do with a new movie, Justice League, one of these, you know, superhero deals. Mm-hmm. Justice League has a heap of superheroes in it. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, who else? Maybe Flash.
Flash. Is Thor in it? No.
Probably. Who knows? They all team up and fight the evil.
All-stars lineup.
All-star lineup, including Hollywood actor Henry Cavill. I don't know, but he has been described as dreamy.
Ooh. Well, he plays Superman.
He plays Superman.
So he has to be a handsome, chiseled sort of guy, doesn't he?
He does, yep. Hollywood hunk style. So he was filming the Justice League movie where he played Superman.
Mm.
The filming of that overlapped with another movie he was filming called Mission Impossible number 6.
Okay.
And he must have been on board that one first. He was filming that one first for his role in that. He was required to grow a mustache.
Mustache.
Now, he then started to need to film his Superman scenes for Justice League. But the people running the Mission Impossible movie said to him, well, I hope you don't think you're going to shave that moustache off. Which posed a problem because Superman doesn't have a moustache.
No.
As far as I know, never has had a moustache.
Super tash. Super moustache.
I don't know that he's ever even had a 5 o'clock shadow.
No.
Clean cut is how Superman goes.
So what happened? Did he have to pick?
No, he wanted to film both of them. He wants to be in both these movies.
Right.
What do I do? And obviously they wanted him in both as well because they've gone to extraordinary measures to keep him in the Justice League movie. What they ended up doing was digitally altering his appearance in the movie. So he filmed the movie with a moustache and then they've, with computer technology, removed it in the production phase.
Right.
And just by the by, that cost a cool $25 million.
That is the most expensive shave of all time. $25 million.
I mean, how much would he be getting paid to be in the movie? Not that much. He wouldn't be getting that, would he?
I don't know.
Like,
that's crazy money.
Good grief. $25 million. Imagine what. Anyway,
how much would a special effects budget be for a movie these days? Must be that. Like, that must be a drop in the ocean for them to even consider that.
Yeah. Anyway, the cost aside, sounds like the process of removing it. Well, and actually, the cost was not even why this has all come up is because at the end of the day, they've spent $25 million to digitally remove the moustache, and it looks horrible.
You've seen it? Tell us.
Well, the movie's come out. I've seen the... I haven't seen the movie, but...
You've seen it.
The whole thing has been roasted right royally on social media. Screen grabs of, you know, Superman in the movie. And looking at his face, you can immediately tell something's not right.
Now, I can see how he can do this to a still picture, but when the guy's talking, it would look very weird.
That's where the $25 million comes in, I think, because it's got to be an involved job. But what happened was, this is how he explained, the actor Henry explained how they went about doing this whole thing. The moustache had to be flattened out with wax, so plastered with wax and flattened onto his face. And then I had dots all over my face. They tried to put dots, which are barely visible, sort of in various points on the face where you would see them during normal, not face replacement, but whatever CGI aspect there may be. That's a bad quote.
Is that a bit like when they cover
motion sensors?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is like that, sensors, I imagine.
Like dots all over a body to make animated movements.
That's right.
Yes.
Flatten the moustache, put the sensors all over it.
Yep.
Later on, they can go back with a computer, erase it off, but the end result looks clearly altered. It looks very unnatural. And Twitter has blasted it. Probably the most... Well, actually, early on, it was the way he looks was compared to Shrek. He did end up resembling Shrek fairly closely. The way it looks.
It's got a rubbery look about the lip.
Yes.
I think. But I don't really know. I can't close my eyes and picture him. He's not that dreamy for me.
Okay, yeah. So if you don't know what he looks like normally, maybe...
I'll have to go back and have a look at it.
Anyway, this probably became the most famous hero tweet about this whole debacle. Dana Schwartz. She's doing like a little tweeted, fictional dialogue exchange here. Justice League exec. Quote says, "We can just CGI Henry Cavill's moustache out of it. It will be fine and not look weird at all." Henry Cavill. And then there's a picture of his face and his... I don't know how you'd describe that look. He looks kind of pained, like he's trying to act like everything's okay, but he's clearly not.
Before you said this, to an everyday person, the thought of acting and being Superman on a film set sounds fantastic. You get the suit, you got the cape, you're obviously a buffed guy. But this guy, for hours on end, take after take, would have like greasy upper lip with all little dots on it. That's not super at all.
And then at the end of it all, he's being publicly humiliated for how he looks. Although no one holds it against him. It's not his fault. But, this is still his face that's being like laughed at.
So what's your take on it overall, though? Obviously, it doesn't look 10 out of 10. Do you embrace technology to, keep things like that happening? Or, like, I actually find it fascinating and enjoy, actually, it would almost make me go and see this film so I can just look at his lip and go, does it look real? Doesn't it look real? Does it look real?
Oh.
No, you're not a fan.
I think just save the CGI for, portraying dinosaurs in outer space. Stuff that you can't actually do in real life.
Okay.
I mean... Well, this says a lot about the industry that they would blow 25 mil on doing a bad erasing job of a mo.
We've seen so many comic book heroes evolve over time. They change all the time. Why couldn't Superman have a moustache or facial hair?
Well, exactly. They could do that.
Probably a beard or I don't know. But yeah, moustache. Yeah, why not?
There'd be less outrage about that than what they've ended up with this CGI scandal.
When you look at how Batman's changed over time, he's gone from a pudgy middle-aged guy into some almost like a robot-looking guy.
That's a good point. Like from the Adam West in wearing tights to Christian Bale with a voice like some kind of
ninja
demonic
skills. Like
yeah, and I haven't seen the movie. I assume it. I think it's kind of set in relatively modern day. Mm. So yeah, of course Superman will look different to what he did in the 1900s.
And we've seen James Bond change his appearance. It's not like you have to have this man looking exactly the same for all the films. We change and
yep.
To me, I love the CGI. As I said, there's a few films that it's been used in which I think fascinating and enhancing of a film. But
okay. Are these positive examples?
I think so.
All right, hit me.
One of the new Star Wars films, they've got a character called Grand Moff Tarkin, who's an evil guy, one of Darth Vader's main...
No, you lost me.
Oh, okay.
No.
But anyway, the main character who played this in 1977
yeah.
obviously was in his 60s or at least 50s back then, so obviously dead now.
Uh-huh.
And... they've brought him back in the new ones because they need to have... It's a obviously the movies jump around in time. And this guy has a fairly substantial part.
So a completely animated version of him? Or...
Yes. Yep. And it's... Really? He has lots of lines. It's not like he's just in the background.
Wow. So he's like Jar Jar Binks?
Pretty much. Yeah.
And could you tell?
Well, the first time I watched it, I thought, geez, he's done well. And I Googled it because I thought, this is the same guy. But
how old would he have to be to still be in the movie?
Oh, I think he'd have to be 110. Maybe less.
Maybe. You're thinking, wow, you know, I'd love to be 110 and still be doing my job this well.
Anyway, my brother, he's a big Star Wars fan, but he didn't immediately pick that this guy was the same appearance as someone from the original
movie.
Yeah,
also that's a tick then.
Tick for me. Michael Douglas in the movie Ant-Man.
Oh, I didn't see it.
He is an old guy these days, but they had to flashback to him in a previous time.
Mm-hmm.
The CGI to make him look like a man of his 40s. We all know what he looked like in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlike other actors where they do a flashback and they use an actor that looks similar to them. We know what he looked like. And this was amazing. He looked exactly like him as a young man.
So it's not like a makeup job they've done.
No, I'll have to show you at a later date. This one, not so good. Adam Sandler in Click. This is another one where they take you through different stages in his life.
This one I haven't seen this either.
So he becomes an old man, young man.
Okay.
Gets fat, gets really fat. And in the bit where he's fat, instead of a fat suit, they've used CGI to give him the jowls and it didn't look great, but I loved it anyway because you go, well, that's Adam Sandler. Well, you know it's either going to be makeup or CGI, something different, I reckon.
That sounds like the one. Did you ever see Nutty Professor with Eddie Murphy?
Yes, yeah.
Where he's turning into the Nutty Professor, and at one point, like all this, where the only bit that's gone fat is his lip, and he like swings his head around, and his big like lip that's dangling down to past his chin is like flying around, and safe to say that was probably CGI. And I don't remember, but probably wasn't great. Probably wasn't, it's advanced since then, but, that's funny. If it's meant to be funny, no problem. But, Superman, it's not funny.
And your thoughts on Carrie Fisher? I believe the new film, she'll appear in it. Is that CGI as well?
I don't know.
Well, definitely the last film, Rogue One, there's a bit where there's a young Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
I think she says one line though, but you've got to, you either use an actor that looks similar, that's in her 20s, or you do this. And to me, don't mind it for a couple of seconds.
If we can trust anyone to use the CGI well, it's probably the Star Wars people. They get a pass. They can run with it. Go for it, guys. Everyone has bad weeks. Newsman, that happens.
I've had plenty. I can't count them on one hand.
Yeah. It's hard to think of an actual week that I can recall where it's just been one thing after another.
I'm more of a bad day sort of guy.
Yeah, a bad day happens for sure. But then I guess you have a couple of bad days in the same week and you got yourself a pretty bad week.
Yeah,
on your hands.
Two bad days equals a bad week.
Yeah. This man in the news this week, John Alexander, originally I think a famous tennis player.
Absolutely. Yeah, he is well known. Probably still better known for his tennis than his political career. And a commentator as well. Very astute commentator on Channel 7 before he got into politics.
Right, okay. Also, I learned in the course of him being in the news a couple times this week, he was at one point a referee on a show in the 90s called Gladiator, I think.
Totally forgot that. I can see it now, him blowing the whistle,
yeah.
Mike Whitney style.
Yeah. And he would wear like the black and white stripy.
Or was Mike Whitney the host and he was the ref? Yeah, probably that way.
Yeah, Alexander was the ref for sure. I don't remember the host. Probably was Whitney. If you say so, I'm sure it was.
Have to go back and Google that one.
Yeah. Now, not that long ago, he's moved on since those days, does have a federal political career in John Howard's old seat in Sydney.
Benelong.
He resigned had to stand down because he's a dual citizen.
Yes.
He's one of the 14 million pollies who it turns out, was ineligible to be elected. So he's had to stand down. He's in the middle of re-campaigning in the by-election to, recontest that seat. And boy, it's gone bad for him this week. Let's start with the worst first. A video from 1995, over 20 years ago, all of a sudden just everywhere, of him telling jokes, two jokes. Couple of problems. One, the jokes aren't funny. And two, to hear them now, they sound horribly, horribly offensive.
Mm.
Especially one, who won't even go into what the jokes were, but essentially the one that he got in a lot of hot water for was a supposed joke involving rape. Mm. So, you know, not really great ground for humour, usually, you wouldn't think.
No, not a topic that you want dragged back into your life when your political career's on the line.
No. No, so he apologised, all the rest, blah, blah, blah. But I was thinking, I mean, that was over 20 years ago. So apparently you can still get in trouble for something you did over 20 years ago.
Mm.
But then I thought about it. I mean, even 20 years, the world has changed a lot. But even 20 years ago, you wouldn't tell, like, terribly off-colour jokes while someone is, like, clearly filming. I have to assume he knew he was being filmed because, you know, what, in 1995, to film anything, you had, like, a camcorder.
That's it.
So obviously he's seen, oh, someone here has got a camera in my face. He's told the jokes anyway. You wouldn't do that.
I can't get the timeline of when things were starting to filter online. But yeah, he would assume that that's probably, if that person's filmed it, they'll look at it, and maybe his friends at a barbie might look at it, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's not going to be spread.
Yeah,
at the time. But yeah,
but you still
who cares?
Wouldn't, would you?
Yeah, who cares with the topic he was talking about?
I reckon even in the '90s, most people thought twice about what they did.
It could end up on a news service, couldn't it? Things like that.
Yeah. So anyway, he did it. It was bad. He said sorry. He got in trouble from the Prime Minister as well. Blah, blah. This came after, and this is a really funny moment. He tweeted a tweet saying, my wonderful volunteers have been along chatting to local residents about creating jobs through tax breaks and strengthening our community, hashtag serving Ben Long. So a boring tweet, but nothing, you know, criminal there. But it does include a photo of him and 1, 2, 3, 4 volunteers, and three of them, including him. So there's four people in the photo all holding a phone to their ear.
Right.
I'll show you. I don't know if you saw it during the week. I'm showing the photo now.
Yes, looks very, you know, very conscientious.
It looks...
It's staged,
it's
but...
It's schmaltzy as all hell.
Yeah.
The real problem is that none of the phones are plugged in. And that's what he got in real strife for. But even that aside, you wouldn't pose for that. Like, that looks like a stock photo from, you know, 1981. When phones were invented, even. Like, check out this technology. And people just don't... They're all sitting there facing the camera with a cradling, like, the phone in their lap. People don't sit like that. People don't act like that in an office. It's clearly staged.
So you're not only offended by the sham that is that the phones aren't plugged in.
Mm.
You're also saying, get with the times. If you're going to tweet, don't do a picture that would probably appear in a country newspaper 20 years ago.
Yes, that's exactly where you would see
I've worked on country newspapers, and I took photos of people holding checks, and not even novelty-sized checks. And this is very much a photo from days gone by.
Did you have to hold the flash bulb in their face? Yeah, no, you're right. It's dishonest. It's dishonest in so many ways. And almost, he said he's actually said that we're chatting to local residents. Well, that is evidently a lie.
Yeah. To be fair though, they may have stopped what they were doing to have the photo taken because they're all in separate corners. But you're right. It just smacks of cheeseball. Corny.
Yep. Very corny. And then the fact that, you know, you don't have to look too closely to see that there's no power plug coming out the back of the phones. He later apparently tried to clarify online that, no, they were plugged in, but who knows what he meant by that, because there's an absence of power cord out the back of them, and he got blasted online.
Blasted?
Online. So that doesn't count for much in the real world. But when you put a tweet out there, you don't like to see it attract nothing but just ridicule, and that's what this one got.
So were they harsh in the point that, were they actually attacking him or just going, aha, caught you out, actually angry?
No, I think most people just thought it was funny, but then in turn it sort of makes him look like a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
So it's bad for him.
Bad week for him.
Yep.
Is it game, set, match?
Oh. John Alexander. Good tennis pun.
But, yeah, I'm not sure. Now, when you spoke about probably filming with a camcorder, this inappropriate joke and how it's come back to haunt him 20 years later, can you imagine the politicians in 30 or 40 years' time who have a very extensive online history? I think it'll be commonplace of just embarrassing videos and images coming up.
Like in the next 20 years, so the pollies who come up will be people who basically grew up with social media, and so there's a vast library
documented
of past
their,
stuff.
Documented their lives, their young, stupid lives.
Yeah, online. You could be right. Geez, that's gonna be that could be a an actual new career that's invented. Is like just a full-time social media, you know, forensic searcher, because that's going to be a huge job.